A proposal to exile Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat is back on the table. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has been consulting with his cabinet over the idea of ousting Arafat. Sharon is under pressure to strike back after a Palestinian gunman shot and killed three Israeli students in a West Bank settlement yesterday.
There are sharply divergent views these days among settlers in the West Bank and Gaza Strip about life in the occupied territories. For some, the latest violence is a minor setback on the road to greater Israel. For others, it's time to get out. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
It's a beautiful spring afternoon in the Israeli town of Sharesh. Mirav Talel is watching her 4-year-old boy Yaron play with a family dog. She gazes at the panoramic view of the hills outside Jerusalem and frets. She's thinking about the bills piling up ever since she and her husband decided to leave their own house, the one in the West Bank settlement of Rimonim. The slender 32-year-old bookkeeper smokes nervously as she recounts the paralyzing fear she felt as settlements around hers were attacked by Palestinians. The last 8 months, she says, she felt like a prisoner in her own house. Finally, last August, they gave up and moved, even though they couldn't really afford to.
We still have a mortgage on our house in Rimonim, which is $900 a month. Plus, we're paying $750 here for rent, and this is a lot of money for us. So at this point, we're really desperate.
Talal says of the 130 families in Rimonim, 30 have left, and she believes another 50 would move if they could. Such anecdotal evidence doesn't alter the official Israeli estimate that despite the violence, the settler population grew by about 5% last year. That's down from a steady 10% growth rate in previous years. But real estate agent Yael Sarig says if her telephone is any indication, the desire to flee the settlements is growing. Sarig says over the past 20 months of conflict, she's fielded nearly 100 calls from West Bank settlers asking about renting in Israel. The problem, she says, is that most of them moved to the West Bank because of generous government subsidies, and now they're stuck.
Because no one will buy there, and no one will rent there. It's a problem.
Solid numbers on people leaving the settlements are difficult to come by. A number of Israelis who can afford to leave keep their settlement addresses because of the tax breaks that come with them. But that's just one view of settlement life. Just over the line in the West Bank, it's easy to find people living a completely different reality. Rabbi Pinhas Haiman stands in a shopping center in the settlement of Elkana. He's carrying his dry cleaning and explaining to a visitor that the stories of Jews fleeing the settlements are propaganda. Haiman also says the cries of peace activists to get Israel out of the Palestinian territories are coming from people he calls weak and poorly educated in Jewish history.
Biblically, geographically, politically, the land of Israel from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea belongs to the Jewish people.
Haiman has a ready smile and soft-spoken manner, which make his views on what to do about the Palestinians all the more startling.
It's not a hope of a snowball in hell of there being peace with Arabs as long as they're in the land of Israel. And so the only solution to our mind is population exchange, like they did in India and Pakistan. If a million Jews can come from other countries to Israel, then the Arab population of Israel can go to Arab countries.
Other Elkana settlers reject the idea of transferring or expelling the Palestinians. They favor peaceful coexistence, although they're glad to have Israeli troops and fences around to help keep that peace. European Jews began moving to Palestine in the late 19th century, and many of those pioneer settlements are now cities and towns in the State of Israel. Through good times and bad, negotiation or war, the settlements have inexorably grown. Since 1967, much of that growth took place on land captured in the Six-Day War. Some modern Israeli historians say one of the myths of the pioneer settlers was that they turned an Arab wasteland into productive ground. Standing just outside the old Jordanian police station that now serves as his office, Elkanah Mayor Maurice Gann says the settlers today are still performing feats of alchemy.
I want to know how Elkanah was before we came here. You look at this hill on the other side, mm-hmm. You see it's wasteland, nothing on it. Now I'll take you for a round and you can see what you can make out of it.
Israeli bulldozers and earth movers have bitten off the side of a nearby hill and flattened it out to make new home sites. A new road is almost punched through. It's less than 50 yards to the edge of the next settlement, Shari Tikva. Gann says Elkanah, Shari Tikva, and a third settlement, Etz Ephraim, will soon be connected. He says such growth is possible because even under most peace plans offered to date, this area, known as the Ariel block of settlements, would remain under Israeli control.
It doesn't depend who is in the government, it's left or right. The area of Elkana up to Ariel, it's all understood that it will be forever belong to Israel.
Gan says before he ordered the fence put up a couple of years ago, settlers and Arabs mixed freely and were good neighbors. But once again, just down the road, the neighbors have another view altogether. Walking along the edge of a field in the village of Massa, less than 100 yards from the fence that marks the beginning of the Elkana settlement, Palestinian farmer Juma Amr points to the fields that have been in his family for generations. This, he says, is what's left of a 50-acre parcel.
In
1979, the military governor decided to confiscate the land for military purposes. And after they confiscated the land, they used it for building a settlement.
Like many Palestinians, Amr has no written title to the land, only old tax receipts to show his family's claim. But Deputy Mayor Ahmed Amr says everyone in Massa over the age of 25 can refute the settlers' claim that the land Elkana sits on was undeveloped state property, or a wasteland. He says it only became a wasteland when the Israeli bulldozers moved in and made it one.
It has olive trees on it, all of it, since a long time ago, hundreds of years. And they took him out and they built settlements.
Shop owner Abdel Amr, Amr is a common family name in Massa, has a 1933 map of the village, surveyed when Palestine was run by the British under a League of Nations mandate. In those days, Massa covered a lot more ground. When asked what happened, Amr smiles and grabs for a reporter's microphone. Just like that, he says. They wanted it, and they took it.
We cannot build one brick over another. If we build any wall, they'll demolish it. But while they are building day and night, they take the land, expand the settlements, and build more and more.
These men relate all this matter-of-factly. And then, just as calmly, they explain that the only solution is to drive the Jews from Palestinian land, no matter how long it takes. At her rented home in Israel, ex-settler Mirav Talal is bitter that her government continues to offer subsidies and tax breaks to entice Israelis to move to the West Bank, but won't offer any assistance to help people get back to Israel, even in the face of brutal Palestinian attacks.
So I just want to say that it's the message that I feel like I'm getting is to stay there and die.
The Peace Now Party is completing a survey that's expected to show a growing desire among settlers to leave the West Bank. But that's unlikely to sway Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's government, which is preparing for the construction of nearly 1,000 new housing units in West Bank settlements. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Elkana Settlement on the West Bank.